2654, 2663, 2667, 3263, 3594, 3601, 2997, 3602, 3241, 3336, 3337, and 3615. Close public hearing.
But it has nothing to do with the coincidence of
my
evaluation.
Oh, is that what it is?
You're
in front of me.
I'm here.
Live.
We are in. I'm let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1217. Invite Senator Gordley. Welcome.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee. It's a wonderful day outside, and don't you wish we could just move this hearing right outside into that park area?
That would be good.
Yeah, just a thought. Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Avell Gordley, representing Senate District 10 in Southeast and Northeast Portland. And I greatly appreciate your willingness to hear this bill today, Senate Bill 1217. And in the interest of time and your committee schedule today, I will briefly describe the need for the bill, the reason for the urgency, and the parties that have been involved in the drafting of this bill to ensure that the committee, to assure this committee that despite the expedited process, we have consulted with the experts to assure careful wording. With that said, the National Indian Gaming Association wants to bring its convention and trade show to Portland's Convention Center in April of next year. In addition to the tourism dollars brought to the Portland area, national delegates to the convention are expected to travel around the state, visiting various tribes, and the beauties of Oregon life. And in order to secure the convention, we need to legislate a narrow exemption to the gaming machine statute to allow for...
Chair, I'm having trouble hearing the...
Please keep the discussion down so that members of the committee can hear the testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I was having difficulty hearing myself. Again, the purpose of the bill before you is that we need to legislate a narrow exemption to the gaming machine statutes to allow for the display of machines at the trade show, which is planned for next year. The National Indian Gaming Association needs to be able to announce next year's convention location at their gathering next week, April 26th through 28th. And Mr. Chair and committee members, with your assistance today, we can advise the NIGA of the likelihood of this necessary exemption to allow the convention and trade show to occur. To the bill, Oregon has strict laws prohibiting gaming machines except where the legislature allows and the state lottery and state police authorize. Senate Bill 1217 provides a narrow exemption for display only at trade shows. We worked with the state lottery, the attorney general's office, the governor's office, the state police, and the Oregon Tourism Commission to assure that language was sufficiently narrow to prohibit use beyond trade shows. The state police requested a tag-along to allow for training on such non-operational machines, and we define trade shows for this particular exemption. In the Senate Trade and Economic Development Committee, my colleagues asked about guarding against youth access and against public access, and Mr. Chair, I would like to assure your committee that first, the convention and the trade show is a trade association that is not publicly advertised, and second, that the state police and the state lottery heard the concerns of the legislative members and will address the access questions in their authorization process for exempted uses. I would like to thank you again for your time to consider the bill. I do want to stress the economic opportunity that it represents, not only for the Portland metropolitan area, but also for the tribes around the state. This is a convention that would bring $2 to $3 million into the local economy. And again, I urge your passage of Senate Bill 17 and appreciate the opportunity to describe it to you.
Thank you. Any members of the committee have any questions?
Are we in more discussion?
Not yet. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 1217? Hearing seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1217. Open a work session on Senate Bill 1217.
Mr. Chair, are there any amendments?
Other amendments?
Oh, yes, we have the dash two proposed amendments which declare an emergency effective on passage.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to Bill 1217.
Representative Rasmussen moves the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 1217. Discussion? Have members located the packet? So
we just for a work session on 1217, we're moving
to the packet. It adds an emergency clause to the bill. Is there any opposition to the adoption of the dash twos? Hearing seen none, so adopted. Representative Rasmussen?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1217 to the floor with the two as amended with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves Senate Bill 1217 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, just if you'd mark Representative Witt and Representative Simmons as excused. 1217 moves to the floor as amended. Carrier? Portland, Representative Rasmussen?
Sure.
Representative Rasmussen. Here you go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next up, let's open up a public hearing on House Bill 2581. Representative Piercy, I'm going to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Representative Kitty Piercy from House District 39. And House Bill 2581 with the dash one amendments would require all insurance policies in Oregon to provide maternity coverage for any member enrolled on that health plan.
I don't have dash one amendments on this bill.
Are you ready? Okay.
have the bill file.
Any, would require all insurance policies in Oregon to provide maternity coverage for any member enrolled on that health plan. This bill is intended to assert that it is state policy that all women who become pregnant are entitled to receive maternity health coverage from their private insurance plan. Is a key piece of the Oregon Women's Health and Wellness Alliance package for 1999. Currently in Oregon, we are facilitating a system that provides maternity coverage for 95% of women covered by private insurance, but only guarantees maternity coverage for 52% of their dependent children. Attached to my testimony is a report required for all health insurance mandate bills that details coverage practices and policies of the major insurance companies in Oregon. I would encourage you to read its contents. House Bill 2581-1 does two things. It mandates maternity coverage for all health insurance policies sold in Oregon. Two, it mandates that any enrolled member on that policy be extended maternity coverage. These amendments are in reaction to recent information that I have received from health insurance representatives and the people who work with pregnant teens in Oregon. You may be surprised to learn that some insurance companies currently providing maternity coverage on policies sold in Oregon would seriously consider selling individual health insurance policies without maternity coverage if they were required to cover dependent teens. This would have the unintended consequence of fewer pregnancies being covered by insurance. The Dash 1 amendment solved this problem by preventing insurers from dropping pregnancy coverage and accomplishes our goal of providing maternity coverage for all enrolled dependents. Putting these concepts into one vehicle, House Bill 2581, is the right thing to do for the women and families of Oregon. Colleagues, the average cost of a term pregnancy with proper prenatal care and all associated costs in the United States has risen to well over $8,000 if there are no complications. While there is no way to qualify the financial hardship on each particular family for a lack of pregnancy coverage, we can speculate generally about the implications for dependent women and their families. More often, these families do not know that the daughter's pregnancy will not be covered by their insurance provider. These young women and their families are faced with three fates. They don't obtain prenatal care or very poor infrequent care, endangering their health and the health of their unborn child. They end up having to go on the Oregon Health Plan and Medicaid to pay for delivery, or their parents must find substantial resources to finance the cost of the pregnancy. For low-income families, especially, economically induced abortions, which can be obtained for a few hundred dollars, may result. So this, in fact, would prevent the need for abortion, because these families cannot personally finance the cost of prenatal and delivery care. Further, if a young woman is denied coverage, she still may not be covered by the Oregon Health Plan. If a young woman's family has income greater than 170% of the federal poverty level, she cannot stay at home and receive coverage. In order to obtain public assistance, she must leave her family and declare herself an emancipated minor. Let me be clear, this bill has nothing to do with the coverage of abortion. Neither is it an attempt to increase access to teen abortions. In fact, it has the opposite effect. Our current situation reflects poor public policy because it results in driving more people onto state-funded health care, breaks up families because they have to become emancipated in order to get on the Oregon Health Plan, and provides economic incentives for the abortion option, all while shifting the cost to our public assistance programs. It is our responsibility as a legislature to ensure that all Oregonians receive basic health care coverage they deserve, and we all can agree that prenatal care is an important part of this. We can take a giant step forward in that direction today by passing this amended version of House Bill 2581.
Questions?
Thank you.
Representative Crummell?
Thank you, Representative. Do you have, other than just raising the premiums, which is probably what we're used to, God knows we don't need to give them any more excuses to raise premiums. Do you have any other mechanism by which you might suggest that we could, that this would be paid for, or is it sort of your intent that the premiums would be raised to accommodate for the
demand? Spread over, and I there will be other people talking about that today, but I believe it would perhaps bring up the premiums 1%. So it's not a huge increase. I'm see if I can find that.
If the estimate is 1%, you can probably figure out a way to make it 5%.
Let's see.
Is that in this material?
Yes. Yes.
John, John, do you want to join?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Powell, representing Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon. I only came to assist for the reason of discussing the cost, and I had supplied a letter to Representative Piercy a few weeks ago outlining the cost to policyholders of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon. It's important to understand that dependent maternity is currently covered under HMOs. Federally qualified HMOs must cover dependent maternity. So when I give you these cost figures, this is the cost of extending dependent maternity coverage to indemnity policies, individual policies, and those group policies that are on an indemnity basis instead of an HMO basis. So a lot of the insurance we sell includes dependent maternity because we're HMO Oregon is a federally qualified HMO and thus must cover it. Same is true with the other HMOs basically in Oregon. And our cost for adding it to the indemnity policies will be 1% of the premium of those policies, or a little over $6 million a year. This is a very accurate number because we do cover it on the HMO Oregon side, and so we know just what the costs are. That's why we see the two bills you have before you today, 2580 and 2581, really going together for a very important purpose, and that is currently at Regents, in all their policies, whether it be an individual policy or a group indemnity policy or an HMO, provides maternity coverage in all of those policies. So it's, if you buy an individual policy, you are purchasing maternity in that policy, and the premium cost is being spread across the entire population being insured. However, we have competitors who are selling individual policies without maternity coverage. And when you're selling to younger people who are traditionally a lot of the people in the market for individual policies, when you sell those policies to young people, there's a tremendous difference in the cost to people in childbearing age with a policy with maternity coverage in it and one without it. So unless both of these bills pass together, you could have kind of the awkward situation of actually having fewer... You'd have fewer pregnancies actually covered because we would be forced to start writing our policies on an individual basis without maternity in it, and then you have to buy that back. Well, it's very expensive to buy it back because you know you're going to use it when you buy it back. So it's very expensive to the policyholder. They tend not to buy it back, thus their pregnancies go uncovered. So the combination of these two bills of mandating the maternity coverage as it is in group policies now and adding the dependent portion is should go together. The other issue is we believe, or at least our retired general counsel believes, that dependents already are mandated to be covered under the law, but there is an attorney general's opinion that uses some logic that escapes at least this one lawyer in Portland as to how it's possible to exclude them. But they did rule that dependents are not covered under that section of law. So the combination of these two bills put together would resolve that issue once and for all.
Any further questions? Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 23? Donaldson? Donald? Welcome.
Thanks.
Introduce yourself for the record, please.
For the record, my name is Donelda Dodson. I'm with the Oregon Health Division. Chairman Hill and members of the committee. I'm Danelda Dodson, Assistant Administrator for the Health Division, responsible for maternal and child health services. I'm here to provide support for House Bill 2581. Access to early prenatal care assures a healthy start for Oregon's children. We want to encourage Oregon insurers and employers throughout Oregon to cover the most basic item of health care, preventive care for pregnant women. Uninsured women who lack financial access to prenatal care are far more likely to have a premature baby. They are more likely not to receive early and consistent maternity care, and consequently, they and their infants are at risk for poor health outcomes. Instead of a family welcoming a healthy baby, they are overcome with the worry about the financial devastation of an uninsured pregnancy and birth. Women who receive early and comprehensive prenatal care are screened for medical conditions which could harm their infants, such as diabetes, communicable diseases, hypertension, Rh incompatibility, and etc. They're screened for social and behavioral risks, such as drug and alcohol use, domestic violence, and depression. They receive nutrition education, prenatal vitamins and support, and guidance on how to have a healthy baby. National studies indicate that every dollar spent on prenatal care saves $3.38 in future maternal and infant medical costs. Without House Bill 2581, it is possible for a working family to have health insurance but not have this basic coverage for the mother. If a family must pay out of pocket, the cost for a normal delivery is over $7,000, as you've heard. Self-pay families must often pay this cash deposit to receive a physician or midwife service or for hospital services. No wonder women without insurance coverage for pregnancy turn to the health plan to help pay for prenatal and delivery costs. According to birth certificate data kept by the Health Division, 32% of total births and 65% of teen births are paid for by the Oregon Health Plan or Medicaid. That was in 1997. Oregon rates 40th in the nation in regard to the number of women who receive early prenatal care, and one reason is the high number of uninsured pregnant women in our state. House Bill 2581 would ensure that women who are pregnant have access to care through their regular health insurance. It would reduce cost shifts to the public sector system and thus save state and federal tax dollars. Moreover, by decreasing barriers to prenatal care, we will save future medical costs for our entire society in both the public and private sectors. House Bill 2581 promotes the best public health interests of all of Oregon's mothers and babies. Quite simply, it will make sure that women with health insurance are covered for basic health, which includes pregnancy and related care. Thank you for your attention. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much. Joanne DeHoff, March of Dimes. Welcome.
Chairman and committee members, my name is Joanne DeHoff, and I am here representing both the March of Dimes and the Governor's Maternity Task Force, and we are here in support of House Bill 2581. And I'm afraid you're going to hear mostly the same things that our last speaker said. Entry into prenatal care in the first 3 months of pregnancy is one of the most important factors relating to good birth outcomes. We know that women who do not receive prenatal care or get into prenatal care late are nearly twice as likely to deliver a low birth weight baby or a very low birth weight baby. Again, as Danelda said, prenatal care is designed to address health problems in the mother before they affect the child. They address health care problems such as infections, diabetes, high blood pressure, and poor weight gain. It's also an opportunity to address other behaviors like alcohol use, smoking, and other drug use, and also a window to get needed support services that will protect both mother and child. Poor birth outcomes like preventable birth defects, prematurity, low birth weight, cost Oregonians millions of dollars annually, and untold suffering to families and children. Again, we can put a dollar amount on how much prenatal care saves. For every dollar spent on prenatal care, $3.38 is saved in neonatal intensive care costs that would have been used for sick newborns. And that's a figure that's been documented by the Institute of Medicine. The average lifetime medical cost for a premature baby is conservatively set at about $500,000. Lack of health insurance that covers pregnancy-related costs and an inability for a family to pay that out of pocket is recognized by the March of Dimes as one of the main factors that women don't access prenatal care and don't participate fully in prenatal care services. Women least likely to enter prenatal care are women without health insurance, low-income women, and teenagers. House Bill 2581 is another step to help ensure that Oregon maintains a healthy pregnancy and to see that their newborns are born healthy. Again, the March of Dimes and the Governor's Maternity Task Force are in support of House Bill 2581. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 2581? Thank you very much. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2581. Representative King has requested that we wait for his return. He's not testifying. We'll bring this back in work session. For committee members, there's also a dash three amendments to this, which we need to harmonize. We just need to make reference to the definition of pregnancy care in ORS 743845. We'll discuss that when it gets to work session.
By the lack of no testimony from the insurance industry, that means they support this bill.
I will characterize it that I don't know if it's support, but I don't think it's opposition.
They're not coming forward fighting it. Thank you.
That is correct.
Because if they were, they better get here.
Their opportunity is now. Okay. I note the room is full with people that faces I normally don't see here. We have had TAP hearings on bills. This, the previous bill and this bill were the only bills that we'll be taking testimony on today. I apologize if anybody came down, but the bills are alive. Today is a deadline. That's why we had a whole number of bills up. We have preserved the ability to hear the bills into the future. That was the purpose of scheduling the public hearing. So I appreciate everyone coming down. If you have prepared any written testimony, if you can get that to us, and we will make sure it's in the packet and to the members, and we'll be making decisions as to whether the bills will be scheduled. And at that point, there will be the opportunity to take testimony by the public, and we will work on the bills. So if you're here for a bill that was on public hearing, possible work session, we've taken the testimony on the only two bills that we will take testimony on, and then we're going to move into work session on other bills that are scheduled for work session. And so, just so you know, you're welcome to stay, but we will not be going back to in bill.
A couple of us weren't here right at the beginning. Did we already tap into those bills?
We did tap hearings on all those.
Okay.
Let's move to House Bill 22 session. Jason, you want to bring us up to speed? Do we have the amendment?
22-17.
We have some compromise amendments. Mike, do you have the did you get the amendments back?
Yeah.
Oh, we do have the amendments. Okay. Passing out the compromise amendments. This is the infamous full attachment bill. Thank you. I guess we should, where's Mike? Mike? Sandy here? Sandy. If you two could come up and sit down next to each other and smile at us, we'll know that we have a compromise. Yeah.
You want me to review it or what?
Yeah. Jason, if you could review what we're looking at.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2271A allows electric utilities to earn a just and reasonable rate for providing and maintaining pole attachment space for a licensee. It subjects all non-regulated utilities to laws that currently regulate utility pole attachments, modifies provisions for determining rental rates of utility pole attachments, authorizes the PUC to regulate the rates, terms, and conditions for attachments by licensees to poles or other facilities of electric cooperatives. It also prohibits unauthorized attachment to utility poles or other facilities, directs the PUC to establish a task force comprised of utility pole owners and pole renters to advise the Commission on utility industry policies and regulations and implement these policies that provide for safe utility pole attachment installation practices. In addition, it punishes the unauthorized attachment to utility pole violation by a fine of $250 per attachment and becomes effective January 1, 2000.
Very briefly, if you could highlight the compromise points.
Yes, Mr. Chair, for the record, Mike Dewey, Oregon Cable Telecommunications Association. What we've attempted to do is we have now taken the task force that is in the original bill, or the bill that came out of committee, then that kind of mysteriously came back here. And we have put an effective date on the task force of September 1 of 1999, because we have basically asked them to do more work than just be a kind of a recommendation body, but to take a look at inspection practices of industries, what the cost might be, appropriate cost, appropriate compliance with contracts, and then have the PUC develop some rules where we can establish some sort of program for compliance with contracts between the pole owner and the licensee. And if you're compliant, then you get a lower rate. It's not the 40 inches that we had talked about, and I don't want to bore you with that, but it would be 20 inches. So the savings potentially are 10 to 12% for a pole user that is compliant with the terms and conditions and the policies of that particular utility. And then we have added some additional language that makes it clear that cooperatives and municipalities are included under this particular piece of legislation. We are not sure it is 100% right at this point in time, but we'd like to, unless my colleague says otherwise here, we'd like to move it on. We've agreed that if there needs to be some tweaking, we would have some time to deal with that, and we know that you have a bunch of bills coming up, one in particular that I'm very interested in, and you need to take some time to deal with that. So we'd like to get this out of your jurisdiction, albeit it's been fun being here on this bill.
Sandy, do you want to add anything?
I'm not sure fun is the appropriate word, but Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sandy Flicker, and I represent the Rural Electric Co-op Association, and was working with the rest of the electric utilities on this, and appreciate Mike's cooperation in coming to what is probably close to a fairly good compromise on the issue. Our main concern was compliance. We wanted to attempt to get rid of the high numbers of bootlegging. I think that we have an opportunity with this bill and the task force to do that. And we also were very insistent that we did believe a task force was necessary to deal with not only compliance but all of the other issues relating to pole attachments in a competitive environment. So I think, as Mike said, there may be some little glitches to work out on the other side, but at this point in time we are telling you that we believe we have reached a relatively good compromise. Thank you.
Representative,
work session?
Yes, we are.
You need any dash amendments moved?
Dash five.
Mr. Chairman, I move the dash five amendments to House Bill 2271.
Representative Montgomery moves the dash five amendments to House Bill 2271. Jason Eichel Loop since we had passed this out once. They had printed it A engrossed. Yeah, I noticed the amendments are to the original bill, not to the A engrossed. I'm assuming that Legislative Council understands what our intention is and strip out the other amendments and replace the bill with this. Is that a correct statement?
I don't think it ever got.
I believe that I know the intent of the committee, and I'll express that to the Legislative Council. Try to have it come out as the A version.
Or C version. Thank you. Representative Montgomery moves the dash 5 amendments to House Bill 2271. Discussion?
Yep.
Hearing seeing none. Is there any objection? Hearing seeing none. The dash 5 are adopted. Representative Montgomery?
Chairman, I move House Bill 2271. As amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Montgomery moves House Bill 2271 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing seeing none. Show Representative Simmons and Representative Witt is excused. House Bill 2271 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And will Representative Witt will carry the bill. Open a work session on House Bill 3219.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3219-5 requires an electric utility that supplies electric power to offer net metering to a customer with net metering facilities. It establishes interconnection standards and charge limitations for net metering facilities, requires part of unused customer credit to be used for electric utilities low-income assistance program, and declares an emergency effective September 1, 1999. I believe that we also have some conceptual amendments before us and some dash 6 proposed amendments, which would sunset December 31st, 2006, and the conceptual amendments would change that to sunset only on the PUD's portion.
Diane, are you going to talk about that, or does everybody understand what the issue is? Tom's in. There you are. Welcome. Very briefly.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Tom O'Connor, Oregon Municipal Electric Utilities. We support the conceptual amendments that Jason mentioned, and yes, what they were designed to do was link a sunset date with the expiration of the Bonneville Conservation Renewable Credit, which expires at the end of the rate case in 2006.
For members of the committee's benefit, this compromise allows us to go forward without opposition on the floor. Representative McCormick.
Chairman, we're in work session.
We are indeed.
These two gentlemen are agreeing.
We have an agreement.
For the record?
Yes.
Thank you.
We're neutral on the bill.
You move the conceptual amendment?
I move the conceptual amendment.
Representative Montgomery moves the conceptual amendment, which changes the... Jason will read it there.
Which changes the dash 6 proposed amendments to read, notwithstanding Section 2, the mandate for consumer-owned utilities to provide net metering shall sunset on December 31st, 2006.
Everybody understand? Any objection? Hearing seeing none, conceptual amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3219 as amended, conceptually amended, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Just to clarify, the other amendments were adopted.
Okay.
Representative Montgomery moves House Bill 3219 as conceptually amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Hearing seeing none. Annetta, you want to call the roll?
Aye.
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 Montgomery.
Aye.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Simmons.
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 3219 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3107. Jason, you want to Oh, I apologize. Let's close the work session on 3207. Open a work session on Council 2581. I apologize. Do you want to come back up? Colleagues, we have dash three amendments, which...
Mr. Chair, the dash three amendments, the intention, as I understand it, the dash three amendments is to define pregnancy.
Correct.
It inadvertently did more than that. So this is my suggestion, if it's okay with everybody that's involved, that on you amend the dash one amendments to say on line 8, insert after the word pregnancy as defined by ORS 743.84516. And that is
line
the definition you want to have in there?
I think it's line 7.
Point of order. We've had a public hearing on this in order.
Yes, we have. That was when we just previously had.
Point of order.
Representative King.
I believe Representative Chris, you said on line 8. I think you're referring to line 7.
The word after pregnancy?
Yeah.
We're working on dash 1.
We're talking about the original bill.
Oh, the original bill.
Line 8 on the original bill, after the word pregnancy, as I've given your administrator, just to put that citing in there that defines pregnancy.
Everybody understand?
Yep.
Representative Rasmussen.
Motion made.
Representative Rasmussen moves to the conceptual amendment of on line 8 of the original bill after the word pregnancy to insert as appropriate as defined by ORS 743.845 section 1 sub D, which is a statute which defines what pregnancy is.
Right.
Everybody understand the conceptual amendment? Is there any objection? Hearing seen none, so ordered.
I need the dash one.
You need the dash
ones.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to House Bill 2581.
Representative Rasmussen moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2581. Discussion?
Where did she move? I'm sorry.
The dash one amendments?
Dash one.
Hearing seen none, is there any objection to the adoption of the dash one amendment? Hearing seen none, so ordered. Representative Rasmussen?
Chair, I move House Bill 2581 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 2581 as amended and conceptually amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Point of
discussion? Representative King.
In the request to repair the language, as Representative Kitty indicated, is that going to require a conceptual amendment or?
That was already conceptually amended and we adopted that.
We're done with that? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we are, the question now is to the floor as amended and conceptually amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Crummel.
I just want to put on record, I'm going to vote in favor. But I just want to put on the record that I am opposed to mandates from the state onto the insurance companies and onto everybody else in the world that's below us. And the reason why I'm opposed to it is because it gives the insurance companies another excuse for raising the premiums. I understand that the testimony was it will only raise the premiums by 1%, and that's fine. I guess, you know, we're sort of trapped because we either pay for it in our premiums or we pay for it in our taxes, because if there's no insurance coverage, people go out and then they get the Oregon health plan. So I don't know which, quite frankly, I don't know which of those causes more. But I just want to be, I'm going to support the bill, but I just want to be on record as I am a person of humanity because of the trickling effect, if you will, that it has.
Thank you. Representative King?
First of all, I'd like to declare a potential conflict in that I am a licensed health insurance agent professionally. Secondly, I'd like to comment that, yes, it does impact insurance premium rates, but another place that it gets paid for today without this is that without doing the prenatal work
then people will not be insured, and we're going to pay for it at the emergency room at many times the dollar cost, let alone the human cost. So I think that we may find ourselves surprisingly revenue neutral, maybe even positive.
Thank you. Your conflict of interest is so noted for the record. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative
Decker. Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. House Bill 2581 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much.
Please show Representative Witt excused. Carrier for the last one?
I was going to suggest that this bill might be one to do it well.
I will carry the bill.
Mr. Chair, could I carry it? Oh.
I will defer to the good representative from Eugene.
Actually, I'm thinking that if we let the chair carry the bill.
Oh, I love that the chair carry.
Yes. Thank you. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3107. Representative Rasmussen. You're on that end. And it goes to Ways and Means. Oh, no, it's recommendation is to send to Ways and Means. Okay.
Okay,
I'll let you. Jason.
I want to note real quickly that the fiscal impact on this below 50,000 previously it was at 60,000, and now it's down to, I believe, 26,000 approximately.
Okay.
Which would indicate that it doesn't need a subsequent Ways and Means.
That is correct.
Oh.
Okay. Good. Representative Rasmussen, tell us what we're looking at.
We are looking at a bill that helps all of us who have constituents who have oil tanks in the ground. It's a bill that residential oil tanks are aging in place, falling apart, leaking, and we've got to figure out a way to get them out of the ground and taken care of. So this is a bill that helps solve that problem in a relatively healthy way.
Thank you, Representative. Jason feels that repentance is good for the soul, so he's going to confess that he gave us misinformation on the fiscal.
It is true.
I'm embarrassed to say that, yes, it still would need to go to Ways and Means, and it is, in fact, at about 500,000.
There's a
little difference there. Okay.
I'm trying to remember. Do we have an additional set of amendments to catch up with this bill?
We did adopt the Dash 1 amendment to move it forward.
Okay. So we're right good to go? We're good to go. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3107 to Ways and Means with a...
As amended.
Am I still saying as amended? The A's.
That's fine.
Whatever. Send it to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 3107 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means for the due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Chairman, very briefly.
Representative Montgomery.
There should be a sunset on this because some days they're going to find all the tanks, and if we don't do away with it, they'll keep going on and on and on forever, and DEQ never lays off anybody. But I'll vote yes for the thing.
Oh.
Since it's going to Ways and Means, if it was going to the floor, it'd be a no vote.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ratton.
What do we do without the agency slam?
That was an intended slam, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay.
Well put.
The motion is to move the bill to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Cromwell.
Aye.
Montgomery.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Simmons. Aye. Cahill. Aye. House Bill 3107 moves to the Committee on Ways and Means. So open a work session on House Bill 2827. Representative King. House Bill 2827. Jason, while he's looking for me, want to introduce the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2827-1, Transfers Enforcement Authority of Electrical Specialty Code, Permit and Licensing Regulations under 1 and 2 Family Dwelling Code to the Electrical and Elevator Board. The amendments that we adopted delete Section 1, which added the Electrical and Elevator Board as one of two appropriate boards to revise 1 and 2 Family Dwelling Code.
Representative King.
I don't recall the testimony, but
was he at least in order?
My memory was that there was no opposition.
What are we doing now?
To this in the subcommittee.
So a good bill should pass.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rasmussen.
The table was not busy. This isn't the table was too busy griping to pay attention. What bill are we on?
Right. We are on House Bill 2827.
Thank you.
A motion, Representative.
I was just going to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Make sure there were no amendments.
There are no amendments.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They were adopted in subcommittee.
I move do pass recommendation on House Bill 2827 as amended to the floor with pass recommendation.
Representative King moves House Bill 2827 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
King.
Representative King?
Aye.
Cromwell?
Aye.
Henry?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Salmon?
Aye.
Fairview? Aye. House Bill 2968 moves. House Bill 2027 moves to the floor with due pass recommendation. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2968. Representative Rasmussen.
Twenty-nine sixty-eight.
Fires Oregon State Lottery advertising.
It is a bill that adds on the tag that is trying to clarify that playing the lottery is an entertaining thing to do, but not necessarily surefire investment thing to do it. That's it. It's a great bill.
May I?
Representative Cromwell?
Are people really that stupid that we have to put it in a lot of
We really have to answer. Are you forcing us to answer that on the record?
Yeah, on the record.
Representative,
I don't know if it'll be any good, Mr. Chair, but it just seems to me that people would understand that they're spending an entertainment dollar or two, however many, if they go to gamble in any way, whether it's horse racing or playing the lottery or going to one of the casinos or wherever they're going. I guess it's one of those common sense things that I could just question whether we really have to put into the law. I mean, I suppose if we do, put it into the law.
Representative King?
I had some similar thoughts about both over-disclosing, but the Lottery Commission did request this. They're under, I think, tremendous pressure and potential criticism for not protecting the public adequately, and they want to make sure that they do what they can to make sure that the public is fairly informed, and they requested and participated in this, and they also made one friendly amendment.
Yeah. Mr. Chair. Representative Montgomery.
Pardon me, I wasn't aware the Lottery Commission did request this. They did, in fact, request this piece of legislation. I didn't say they requested.
David,
I
do you want
to... I misunderstood.
No, just thank you. Do you want to just come briefly clarify?
Here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is David Hooper. I'm Public Affairs Manager with the Oregon Lottery. This bill was not submitted at the request of the Lottery or its commission. This bill was submitted by Representative Merkley. We worked with Representative Merkley to develop some compromise language.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2968 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 2968 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Decker?
Aye.
Key?
Aye.
Cromwell?
No.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
No.
Chair Hill?
Aye. House Bill 2968 moves to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Let's open a...
I think Representative Murphy would be happy to carry this bill. Okay.
Let's open a work session on House Bill 3001. Representative King.
I'll be there in a moment.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3001 requires specified motor vehicle dealers to meet education requirements prior to application for motor vehicle dealer certificate. It exempts from the continuing education requirement national auction companies whose primary activity is the sale of totaled vehicles. And takes effect on January 1, year 2000.
Representative King.
Thank you. First of all, I wish to declare a potential conflict of interest as Monty King, who is employed by an independent auto dealer, who has requested this bill come into existence, is my brother.
So noted for the record.
I recommend House Bill 3. I haven't had a chance to check through my stack as I've been away to see if there are any amendments.
There are dash 3 amendments, which are adopted.
We have dash 3s that are already adopted.
Yes.
So we're prepared to move forward.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
They're in your supplemental packet you're looking for.
Okay, which is in this stack in my hand. I recommend House Bill 3001 as amended with a due pass to the floor.
Representative King moves House Bill 3001 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Hearing seeing none, will please call the roll.
Standard.
Excused.
King.
Aye.
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Chair Hill?
Aye. Representative
Decker? Aye.
Decker votes aye. House Bill 3001 moves to the floor to do pass recommendation. Open a work session on House Bill 2740.
Mr. Chair,
you are.
Thank you.
The carriers coming out of stops will be the carriers going to the floor. Open a work session on House Bill 2740, Representative Simmons.
2740. Mr. Chair, House Bill 2740 limits liability of a person that loans, rents, donates, or otherwise makes available motor vehicle for use by another person pursuant to written agreement. It specifies that a person making motor vehicle available is not liable for injury, death, or damage as a result of use of motor vehicle except for injury, death, or damage resulting from negligent maintenance. We did adopt the Dash 1 amendment.
Representative Simmons?
Yes. Jason Cody has summarized it quite nicely. And this bill is to take care of some places in the law that refer to rental motor vehicles and recommend due pass recommendation.
Is that a motion, Representative?
Yes, it is.
Representative Simmons moves House Bill 2740 to the floor of the as amended with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Rosenbaum.
I take it since I wasn't on the subcommittee that had this, I'm just trying to digest it. But does this bill actually say that car rental companies are not liable, people are injured or killed in the cars that they rent unless the company was negligent in maintaining the vehicle? And if they rent a defective car and somebody's killed as a result, maybe I just need a minute to catch up with what
yes.
the bill does or the staff could answer.
It's a bit of a complicated little twist, actually. And under current law, in the event of a rented vehicle accident, the costs of repair are equally divided between the insurance of the driver and the insurance of the business providing the auto. And the provisions in House Bill 2740 would clarify in statute that the burden of the vehicle liability rests solely on the third-party vehicle renters when they have them. You can purchase rental insurance when you rent a car, and maybe is the individual who brought the bill.
Sarah, do you want to pop up here?
I'll pop up here and clarify a few things.
Jason, you want to jump in?
Representative, I think that the original intent was that in the past the liability of either the person renting or the company renting the car, when it went to court, if there was an accident, it was just split in half.
Right.
And so they're trying to make it responsibility of a person that does have insurance who goes in and rents an automobile from someone for their insurance to be the primary insurance coverage.
Darrell?
Chair Hill, members of the committee, that's correct, Mr. Cody. There is no current statute that directs a court on whose insurance is primary and whose insurance is excess when a car is in an accident. My name is Darrell Fuller. I represent the Oregon Auto Dealers Association. Because the law is silent, the courts have said when a rented vehicle is in an accident, the insurance company for the agency that rented the vehicle and the insurance company for the person driving the vehicle split the cost of the accident. We believe that the accident is caused by the driver, not by the vehicle, and so the insurance of the driver ought to be primary, and the insurance of the vehicle owner ought to be excess, unless there's a mechanical failure or the person renting the vehicle was negligent in renting it. For example, if we rent a vehicle to somebody who's clearly intoxicated, we are liable under the amendments to the bill. Okay. But if the vehicle is in good working order and we rent the vehicle to somebody who has rental car coverage in their insurance policy, and that person gets into an accident, then their insurance would become primary.
Next,
so another question. Do you know what effect this would have on auto insurance rates generally?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, I don't represent insurance companies, so I can't tell you other than for those people that have the rental car rider on their insurance policies, they pay for that rider, and I suppose it's possible that the rental car rider could increase as a result of this additional liability. My guess would be that insurance companies, because some insurance companies don't go to litigation, recognize their responsibility, and pay the full cost of the claims without going to court, other rental car companies are taking the dealers to court, we're settling for 50-50, that the change would be rather minor, if at all. I would tend to think that the insurance companies are already charging to protect themselves for full coverage in case they are liable for the accident. By the way, there are 21 states that have laws similar to this in operation already, and there are 3 states that have laws that require the dealer's insurance to be primary. So we're going the same direction as at least 21 other states have gone since the courts have essentially split the baby 50-50. All state legislatures are grappling with this issue of whose insurance should be primary and whose insurance should be secondary. And it's 21-3 in favor of the legislation you have in front of you.
Chair Rosenbaum, are you comfortable?
Well, I think my questions have been answered.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Motion, Representative?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2740 to the floor of the pass recommendation.
Representative Simmons moves House Bill 2740. Further amendments?
I mean, we amended in the dash.
Yeah. As amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Hearing seen none, call the roll.
Decker?
Yes. Aye.
Trumbull?
Aye.
Montgomery?
Rasmussen? Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Chair Hill?
No. House Bill 20. Yes. House Bill 2740 moves to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Open a work session on House Bill 2739.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to go straight to what the effect of the committee amendments are because they replaced the language of the bill. House Bill 2739 removes the distinction between Type A and Type B certificates and increases the amount of a bond or letter of credit required for a vehicle to clear certificate. It increases the term of the certificate to 3 years, creates an offense of failure to maintain continuous bond or letter of credit coverage, which is a Class A misdemeanor, requires application for renewal certificate to be made prior to expiration of previous certificate, increases the fees original for the original issuance and renewal of the vehicle dealer certificate. It increases the additional plate fee for dealers of motorcycles, mopeds, Class 1 all-terrain vehicles, and snowmobiles, and declares an emergency effective September 1, 1999.
Representative Witt will be scheduled to carry this bill on the floor. Is there any discussion? I'm going to do a motion. Representative King.
I do need some clarification here. My memory from sub is we weren't doing the AB. I see the AB described. I heard the AB described verbally. My memory of the consolidation of bills was different than AB. So
I believe that with the adoption of the amendments after it's passed out, that'll steer. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct, Representative King. What the bill does description at the top of the summary was as it originally stood with the adoption of the Dash 6 amendments, which we did do, that distinction has been removed.
Oh, I see.
This is okay. So I thought I heard you say in your verbal explanation the same as what's stated on the agenda.
That was the original bill.
Of the AB. Okay, so you described the original bill.
In the original statement, Representative King, I just moved straight to the effect of the committee amendment since that replaced the bill, the original bill.
Okay. I understand how you read the wording then. Okay. Thank you.
Any discussion? Motion? And for the record, Representative King, you declared potential conflict of interest. Is that correct statement?
Sure. For the record, I'd like to declare potential conflict of interest.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I recommend House Bill 2739. As amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative King moves House Bill 2739 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Jeffers?
Yes.
King?
Aye.
Trumbull?
Aye.
Montgomery? Rasmussen?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Carahue?
Aye. House Bill 2739 moves to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Open a work session on House Bill 3144. Jason, you want to explain this one?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3144-1 adds structural engineering as engineering license category, specifies the types of buildings included in the definition of a significant structure, specifies the types of buildings exempted from the definition of a significant structure, and restricts who may provide engineering services for significant structures to licensed structural engineers. We did adopt the Dash 1 amendments, which specify the types of building included and exempted from the definition of significant structure, and that an engineer is the only person that would provide structural engineering services.
Mr. Chair. Representative Deckard.
I move House Bill 3144 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Deckard moves House Bill 3144 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is that as amended?
As amended.
As amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. I just want to briefly, is there anyone here who would like to testify on House Bill 3144? Didn't get an opportunity in subcommittee? No, that's not my question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hearing and seeing none. Is there further discussion on House Bill 3144? Please call the roll.
Deckard?
Yes.
King?
Aye.
Trumbull?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Carahue?
Aye. House Bill 3144 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3521. Jason, you want to...
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3521-1 allows a seller of a motor vehicle to sell a vehicle subject to future acceptance by a lender that may finance a sale It prohibits the sale of trade-in vehicle before the seller has obtained acceptance or approval of the lender. When requests for consumer financing are rejected, requires the seller to return to the buyer all things of value received from the buyer as part of the transaction, and adds prohibition to the Unlawful Trade Practices Act. This is informally known as the practice of bushing. And we did adopt the Dash 1 proposed or amendments, which have the effect of requiring that when requests for consumer financing is rejected, the seller must return everything of value before the transaction took place.
Who's in a Rasmussen?
I'm of House Bill 3521-2-4, as amended to the floor to pass recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 3521 to the floor to pass recommendation as amended. Discussion? Representative King.
I don't think I have a conflict of interest, but just in case, I want to declare that it could be.
Representative King declares potential conflict of interest.
Mr. Chair, I just want to go on record as opposed to bushing in general.
The record will be so noted. Any further declarations of...
I have no conflict with bushing.
Would you please call the roll?
Becker?
Aye.
King?
Aye.
Rommel?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Chair Hill?
Aye. House Bill 3521 goes to 435 recommendation. Open a work session on House Bill 3234. Jason?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3234 extends the period for considering unlicensed practical experience for the purpose of licensing certain electricians and has no amendment.
Representative Simmons.
I move the House Bill 3234 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Simmons moves House Bill 3234 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Hearing seen none. Representative King, do you want to declare potential interest on that?
Okay. Another. Please call the
roll.
Decker?
Aye.
King?
Aye.
Rommel?
Aye.
Becker?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Chair Hill?
Aye. House Bill 3234 moves to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Open a work session on House Bill 3535. Jason?
Mr. Chair, House Bill 3535-1 prohibits a business from intentionally misrepresenting in a telephone directory listing the location of that business. The effect of the Dash 1 amendments, which were adopted in the subcommittee, prohibits a person from advertising a business name that intentionally misrepresents the geographic location of that business.
Representative Simmons.
I'm looking for the bill, Mr. Chair.
3535.
All right. Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3535 to close due pass recommendation.
Representative Simmons moves House Bill 3535 to close due as amended to close the due pass recommendation. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, I'm.
Is there a restriction?
I'm not in support of this bill. I'm not sure it gets all the way to what it is we want. I think is involved in the concerns.
Didn't we have some Dash 1 amendments to this bill?
Yeah, I think you did, and I think you moved them.
We did.
The Dash 1s are there.
Your motion was amended to exclude the Dash 1 amendments.
Yes. I'm sure that was your intent.
I would move the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 35.
I believe they were already adopted.
Already adopted. That was in a conceptual kind of a nature. Yes. Okay.
So at any rate, I will...
It was a long discussion, too.
Yes, it was.
So, Representative Rasmussen will not be... Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Representative Crummel?
If I may just ask real quickly, Representative, what is that it doesn't go far enough is what I think.
No, actually I'm not. I failed to, and maybe I'm just a city girl and don't quite have the same. The issue as Representative Simmons presented is that sometimes when you call to do business in the Yellow Pages, you think you're doing business with a company that's presenting themselves as their local business.
Yes.
With a local phone number, a local address, and that you may be choosing to transact business with that business
because of that you're wanting to buy local. And that sometimes, however, when you make those phone calls, especially when you're dealing with the forest, you find yourself passed through to some other community somewhere else in the universe. And wanted, I think the intent of this bill, if I'm summarizing correctly.
Go ahead. You're doing pretty good so far. May I ask the chair's discretion to clarify when she's done?
To clarify that when you do a listing in the Yellow Pages, that you are clarifying that you are indeed a forest in Chicago, even though you're advertising in Estacada, and I'm failing to understand the concerns and sort of whatever on the bill.
No? Can I clarify, Mr.
Representative Simmons?
Call forwarding technology allows you to forward calls. You may have a listing, and I think the example used in subcommittee was that Salem Flowers may be a long-established flower shop in Salem. And somebody may come in with another business name, Flowers of Salem, with a local number. It's not a local. They have no local established business. The calls are forwarded to some boiler room someplace in the nation. They give you an inflated price, skim a significant amount of profits, a portion of profits off the top, and then find some local flower shop to deliver the flowers for you. FTD, but it's really not. This is a practice that has taken place in numerous places. Also, Representative Witt, in his business, has people who you'll hear maybe you can ask a conflict of interest, perhaps, but, who suppliers who want to call in to companies that he deals with and representing themselves as if they were a local company, and they really aren't. And this just simply clarifies that keeps them from intentionally misrepresenting the location, the physical location of their business in their advertising.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Rosenblatt.
Would this bill prohibit advertising New York-style pizza in the Yellow Pages?
What?
New York-style pizza.
I believe the answer would be no.
This is a constituent request that I've worked on.
Representative King?
Okay. Not going there anymore.
Discretion is a better part of valor.
Mm.
Any further discussion? Motion is to send the bill to the floor. The due pass recommendation is as the bill has been amended. Call the roll, please.
Deckard?
Aye.
King?
Aye.
Nummel?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
No.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
No. House Bill 3535 moves to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Yes, you can vote no.
No, open a work session on House Bill 3518. Going to Ways and Means. Is that my prior?
I'm going to make a motion while you're a viewer.
Yeah, okay. House Bill 3518 has a prior reference to Ways and Means. Representative Crummell, do you want to explain?
Sure, I'll go ahead and give a little information on this. This is a bill that would fund for OEDD funds for the Portland, Oregon Sports Authority. The Portland, Oregon Sports Authority has a very positive effect in not only on our region but on our state. Because, or should I say, not only on the state, but I would put on the region, going both ways. Because they are responsible and have taken the responsibility for bringing many events to the Portland and the Oregon area. And really, as a probably the best example, is the most recent memory is the Good Blood Games of 1998 were brought to us by the Portland Oregon Sports Authority. They were sort of the whole lesson of the city. So I would move House Bill 3518 as we didn't have any amendments.
3518, on the ways and means, with a due pass recommendation, I certainly hope it doesn't end up there as black hole in the black hole and not able.
Representative Kremel moves House Bill 3518 to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any further discussion? Representative Rasmussen.
Is there anything much for discussing on this?
Is that a trick question?
Drug testing our wrestling folks, or
I don't believe.
Never mind its obscure reference. I'll get over it.
There is one thing I would like to clarify though, and that is on the fiscal. Maybe I shouldn't bring it up, but on the fiscal that we received, it shows that the dollars will be coming out of certain funds, and then going into economic development in the amount of $200,000. The one thing that I would note about this is that because it's not in the governor's recommended budget, the economists of these fiscal tax claims money somewhere, so they arbitrarily pick funds out for those dollars to create this fund. So I just want to clarify that because it did create some opposition in our subcommittee, particularly with the. Good.
Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Deckard?
Aye.
King?
Aye.
Trumbull?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Pass.
Rosenbaum?
No.
Simmons?
Aye.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
House Bill 3518 is the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask one question procedurally? And that is, because I'm an athletic trainer, do I need to declare a potential conflict of interest?
Is there any way, are you associated with the Portland, Oregon Sports Authority?
No.
I would think. Benefits gained from the bill?
Pardon me?
Is there any way you gain from the bill?
I don't think so.
Well, let's just. Would you like to declare a conflict of interest?
Let me just declare a potential conflict of interest because of my profession as an athlete.
Representative Kremel declares a potential conflict of interest on House Bill 3518. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3061. This is by prior reference to Ways and Means as well.
If it's all right, I'll just go ahead and take off on this.
Yep, please.
This is another measure that is brought to us primarily by Representative Ross, but also Representative Merkley and many others are signed on to this and want to help move this along. This is for the World Affairs Council of Oregon. This has generally been funded as a role at the point of $90,000 in the last biennium, and this biennium they are asking for $130,000. There was one person that wanted to, and we did a conceptual amendment, so I think we have to adopt the batch known season. But one representative on the committee was not comfortable with having the $130,000 inserted, and so they wanted to take the $130,000 and insert $90,000, keeping it at the same level as it's been this year. I think that the argument can be made most certainly that $130,000 is a very reasonable amount, but the argument can also be made to keep with our budgets being as tight as they are to leave it at $90,000. I don't know what impact it would have on the overall program other than the fact that they would just get $40,000 less than what they were requesting. and maybe that's the question that's best answered by Ways and Means. So I will move the dash one amendments to House Bill 3061 because I don't really know where.
Representative Kremel, the dash one amendments are the result of the conceptual amendment that was already adopted, so there's no need to adopt the dash one.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So we just need to.
In that case,
Mr. Chair,
I move House Bill 3061
Before you do the motion?
Hold on a second.
Before you move the motion, I would like to explore with the chair the possibility of bringing that 90 back up to 130. I suspect that in the end, Ways and Means will know the true amount, but we could at least allow the bill to enter the Ways and Means process with the amount requested by the agency.
We're in work session. What's the will of the committee?
My feel, it doesn't really matter to me, Mr. Chair. It was, there was a couple of people on one person in particular that was wanted to lower the amount. I don't know, quite frankly, I don't know where the votes will go. It was still a close vote, pulling $790,000.
Representative Rasmussen, do you want to make a motion to remove the dash ones? That would be to. We'll see where it goes.
Jason's like going, oh no, don't make me explain this one. Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a conceptual amendment to House Bill 3061, where on page one of the printed bill, we will insert 130,000 and delete 90,000.
Is the bill printed with a blank?
No, sir, it's not.
Is it 130?
It says 130, so I think would suggest if you actually just remove the amendment.
The original bill says 130.
So if you
Mr.
Just
Chair, I remove, like, move to remove the dash one amendment.
Representative Rasmussen moves to remove the dash one amendments, which were adopted in subcommittee, to the bill, to discussion. Representative Rasmussen, any objections to removing the dash one amendments?
I will object, Mr. Chair, because I feel like I need to back up my committee.
Representative Krimmel will be shown as objecting.
Mr. Chair.
The motion carries. So the dash one, so it's now we're back to the original printed bill.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3061 to the Ways and Means and its House recommendation.
Representative Rasmussen moves House Bill 3061. As originally printed to the Committee on Ways and Means, with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
I would only say it's a good bill. It should pass. The World Veterans Council, I think, of Oregon is a very valuable organization. I think they do a lot of good work for the state as a whole.
Any further discussion, Representative Rosenbaum?
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, I'll be supporting this, although I didn't support the last proposal, primarily because we have funded this program previously out of lottery dollars, and therefore I think it was consistent to try to continue to do that at some level.
Okay. Representative King?
Do we know who the carrier of this bill is going to be?
It's going to Ways and Means.
Okay.
Pick them up.
Is there any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Deckard?
Aye.
Krummel?
Aye.
King?
Aye.
Krummel?
Aye. Still on.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Jergo? Aye. House Bill 3061, which is the Committee on Ways and Means. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3041. Jason, do you want
to? Mr. Chair, House Bill 3041 authorizes the certification authority to authenticate certificates and repositories. We do have the dash two proposed amendments in front of us. They allow a person to use an electronic signature for electronic documents as prescribed by the Secretary of State. It requires a notarial officer to accept an electronic signature for electronic documents as prescribed by the Secretary of State. It requires a notarial certificate signed with an electronic signature to be attached electronically as prescribed by the Secretary of State and to contain the phrase signed by electronic signature. It also directs the Secretary of State to adopt rules necessary to carry out the provisions of House Bill 3041.
Representative Rosenbaum?
I move House Bill 3041 amended.
If I might jump in here, the dash two amendments allow for the Secretary of State by rule to adopt a procedure in which they can use electronic digital signatures as notarial stamps. in terms of, so this will allow us to move into a completely electronic form of through the notarial process today. There are requirements to use a crimping seal or a stamp, and this allows them to adopt rules necessary to administer an electronic notarial document, so which will allow us to use electronic documents and forms. So we should move the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3041.
Representative Rosenbaum moves the dash two amendments to House Bill 3041. Discussion. Any objection? Hearing seen none, so ordered. Representative Rosenbaum?
Chair, I now move House Bill 3041 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rosenbaum moves House Bill 3041 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Deckard?
Aye.
James?
Excuse?
Aye.
Redmond?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Cahill?
Aye. House Bill 3041 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'll carry the bill. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2248.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 2248-8 revises laws relating to tax exemptions available to qualified business firms and enterprise zones. It also allows businesses that serve customers by telecommunications to be eligible for tax exemptions when not less than 90% of customers outside of the state. There were several amendments that were brought forth to extend some of the tax exemptions in enterprise zones to allow for special projects that are occurring right now.
Just for the committee's understanding, the bill has a prior reference to the Committee on Revenue. Is that correct? Sammy? Who said this commander?
This came out of Trade and Economic Development, Mr. Chair. And we spent an enormous amount of time, I think, working on this, but I think the end result is a very good product that will satisfy several different needs, one of which is to improve the enterprise zones around the state, and I know Representative Simmons may have some comments on this. It also clarified some language that, because some folks were concerned about Nucor kind of coming into the picture because of some activities in the Coos Bay area. And they wanted to make sure that everyone understood that Nucor wants to live up to the agreements they made during the 1997 session. So the amendments were put in to account for that as well. The other thing that were put in was to make sure that some of the rural counties were protected in terms of their enterprise zones, making sure that the dash one amendment here of central administrative facilities, such as up in Portland with ideas, and I know that didn't fill one of our community members, the dash four amendments took care of some long-term rural tax incentives. Basically, I think the overall measure is a good measure. It is complicated, and it's once it becomes engrossed, it'll probably be a little easier to sit down and read it. But I think it's a good topic, and I would fully ask for your support.
Very good.
All the amendments been moved into the bill.
Yes, all of the amendments have been adopted in the subcommittee.
Just we're at the bare minimum for a work session, so we need everyone's agreement. So. Representative Thummel, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2248 as amended to the floor with a due
to the Committee on Revenue.
Wait a minute, to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Kremel moves House Bill 2248 to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation as amended to the Committee on Revenue with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Deckard?
Yes.
King? Crummell?
Aye.
Rasmussen? Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Fairhill?
Aye. Please show absent or missing members as excused. House Bill 2248 moves to the Committee on Revenue. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2774. Representative Rosenbaum.
Yes. House Bill 2774, which was amended in the Subcommittee on Trade and Economic Development, deletes the provision allowing recording of silver halide photocopies of plaques and allows the county clerk to determine physical characteristics of drafting materials on which the plaques are recorded. Basically, the current requirements are becoming cumbersome. There are other means, such as microfiche, of recording this information, and this will give the clerk flexibility to manage the records in the most efficient way possible.
Representative Rosenbaum, there was also amendments for electronic filing. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct. It also allows electronic filing. That's the main. So I would move House Bill 2774 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Rosenbaum moves House Bill 2774 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Deckard?
Aye.
Crummell?
Aye.
Keeson Rasmussen?
Excuse.
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Fairhill?
Aye. House Bill 2774 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. What are the amendments that do the electronic? Are they incorporated in this? The amendments to the electronic filing? There's amendments to this one?
Right now.
Yeah, I'm just looking for the ones that allow them that they may do electronic filing. Sanity is for saying we're. I don't see the electronic. Do you remember discussing that, Rosenbaum?
I do remember discussing it. Yes. Yeah. We're just looking for
that. How we adopted that. Committee.
I just don't see it when the. I apologize.
This one.
Dash fours?
I don't remember.
Chair would entertain a motion to bring to reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 2774 to the floor.
So I'll move.
Okay, we'll wait for one more person. We need one more person to do it. Can you get copies of
that? So we saw these.
Yeah, we'll bring back House Bill 2774. We need one more body to do it. And then we've got the dash fours, just to make sure that they're in there.
Oh, okay.